One of my earliest memories as a child was getting these Bible books, well, the old Bible stories and the Old Testament, some of the New Testament picture books. And for some reason, I remember my mother sitting down with me and reading the one little thin book of the Good Samaritan story. And I've always held on to that memory for whenever I hear this parable, I'm reminded of it. You know, we've all heard that parable of the Good Samaritan since we're very young. And it's a very simple parable, and so we all get its meaning in our lives. In fact, the term has become so well known that it's almost, the same thing for anyone who's done a good work. You know, we can use that same term. They're a good Samaritan. We even hear it on the news at times. So even our secular culture has adopted it. You know, a few years ago, I got a call from a priest friend that I'll never forget. He called me back right away. And so I stopped what I was doing. I called him back. He sounded kind of agitated a little bit. And he said, "Hey, I need your advice really quick." And I said, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" He said, "Listen, I'm at the scene of a really bad accident." And what ended up happening was he shared that a semi had somehow failed to follow the curve in the highway and went straight. Maybe the driver had a seizure or was distracted or something, but he went straight full speed into the ditch and right into a tree head on, and it totaled the cab of the truck. And so my priest friend and another woman were the only ones of the many who had drove by that actually stopped to help, because you had to go down into this ditch, it was full of muddy water, and go in on the other side, climb this barbed wire fence just to get to the tree that this guy hit. Not many people were willing to do that, except, like I said, for my priest friend and this other woman. But she was calling 911, and my priest friend was trying to console the unconscious driver, if he could hear him, who was all trapped in the crash cab of the truck. And of course, while he was talking to me, the fire department arrived first and began the process of cutting apart the cab with a saw so that they could free him and hand him over to the EMTs who are now arriving on site. The whole process, of course, as you can imagine, took some time, and it was then that at that moment that my priest friend had called me. He told me about the situation, and he believed that the man in the cab was Catholic because he could see a rosary hanging from his rearview mirror. The problem that he was having was that it was obvious by some of the first responders who had now had the body outside of the truck, who was still unconscious, they were trying to get him to become conscious and respond to them. But my friend was kind of hovering around trying to get in there for a prayer and an anointing. They kind of looked at him, and he could tell by their body language that they didn't want my friend around at all. He wanted him away. And so my friend was concerned because this man was very hurt. He was still breathing, thank God, but certainly was in danger of death, and all he wanted to do was anoint him. And so that's when he called, and he said, what should I do? They really are giving me glares. They don't want me anywhere near them. And so I said, it's a difficult situation. I said, but you have a right to be there, but just let him, get him stabilized a little bit. And when you kind of sense that he's stabilized a little bit, then, force yourself in there and say, "Hey, I need 30 seconds here to do what I need to do." And I said, "Call me back later, tell me what happens." And so he did. He called me about 3 hours later. And he told me, he said a quick prayer and mustered the courage and just barged right in there and took command of the situation and anointed this man. And he said, amazingly, while he was doing that, the unconscious man, who they had been trying to get to be responsive, suddenly opened his eyes during the anointing prayer and looked up right into the eyes of the priest and was trying to communicate. And so the priest finished his prayer, encouraged him to be at peace, everything's going to be okay. And the EMTs were absolutely astonished. This is what they had been trying to do for the last half hour. And here with this simple anointing, this man had made a comeback already. And so shortly after he said, the Mayo helicopter landed on the highway there, and everyone took the patient away, and then everyone kind of left in a kind of reflective silence, marveling at what they just had witnessed. So I always remember that story that my priest friend encountered that day. You know, every day of our lives, God gives us opportunities to be good Samaritans, maybe not in a very intense situation like that, but in big ways, small ways, and every way in between, in our homes and in our workplaces and our communities. Being a good Samaritan, of course, means, as we all know, that our hearts are open, as Jesus says today, to showing mercy to another human being who needs it. Of course, we all know, too, that it's easy to show mercy to those who we love, but it's much more difficult for us to show mercy or lend a helping hand to a stranger or someone we're mad at or someone we don't like. Much more difficult. But that's the message of the Christian gospel. You know, there's more to this parable that we may see in its initial reading. Jesus tells this parable, he says to a scholar of the law who was a very conservative Jew, and Jews hated Samaritans, and they hated Samaritans who lived in their country because they were not full-blooded Jews. And so it was a racism in that sense. And in this parable, it is the Jewish priests and scholars like himself who walk right by and leave the beaten man dying in the road. And it's only this Samaritan man who stops to help, not the Jewish leaders who were, in a sense, obligated to help this poor man. So Jesus was really trying to teach his audience that everyone is our neighbor, every human being, and worthy of our mercy, even those we don't like, because God's commandment and challenge to love is unconditional for us as Christians. You know, Moses sums it up today best for us in our first reading when he says, "This command of love, which I bind on you today, is not impossible for you to live out. It's something very near to you, already in your heart. You have only to carry it out, and we do with the help of God's grace." And so let us pray today that the Holy Spirit, whose help we receive in the celebration of the Eucharist and through Holy Communion, will help us to carry out that command to love in our daily lives so that we can help others who are in need experience the love of Christ in their lives also.